Boyd Matheson divides rage from reason on Inside Sources.
It is always a good Friday when we're able to have Representative John Curtis join us on the program. And it's always coming or going to our nation's capital. A big week, a busy week, both on the front of good policy and bad policy and good politics and bad politics as we look at it all. And so give us first just kind of an overall view of the week from Washington, D.C. What was the feel and flavor this week back there?
It was busy. It was busy top to bottom. Of course, we were dealing with the budget. We were dealing with State of the Union. And a big deal in my committee yesterday was the very controversial topic of TikTok and how to deal with it.
Yeah. And let's start right there, because I think it's one that we often just kind of glance over and everyone kind of turns the other way. And what could possibly go wrong category of putting your head in the sand. But give us some of the things that have come out in terms of a bill that you have advanced out of that committee as it relates to TikTok and why that matters.
So we all got an object lesson in why it mattered yesterday, because TikTok, in anticipation of us voting on a bill that would mandate that it could not be owned by the Chinese government, pulled a stunt that was not in their favor and ended up with a 50-0 vote, which never happens. You know, boy, for a committee to come up 50-0, you know that we have to have some strong feelings. Every Republican and every Democrat voted for this bill. And to give a little background, we were going to vote on a bill that would not allow Chinese ownership of TikTok if they were going to operate here in the United States. And we go into why in just a moment. But TikTok's reaction to that was to put up on a screen of anybody that accessed the app, first of all, a requirement that they enter their zip code, and then a requirement that they actually call their member of Congress before they could use the app. And that so angered the committee, because think about this. You have to understand TikTok is owned by the Chinese government, and that the Chinese government, as one of those prerequisites, demands of Chinese companies access to data. So in effect, the Chinese government was collecting data on everybody's zip code and then demanding an action out of that before they use the app. Think about, you talk about where things could go wrong. Imagine if that were for an election. And TikTok wanted everybody that used their app to call on a specific politician and weigh in on a certain way. The ability to influence an election, particularly now, pair that with their algorithms of changing behavior. And it is really scary. And it's so bothered the committee. That's why they got that 50-0 vote.
Wow. That is stunning. I don't know if we've had that kind of unity on anything in Congress for a very long time.
Right.
But rightly so. And I want you to unpack this a little bit for us, because I think from your unique perch there on that committee, because really there's two elements to all of this. You mentioned the algorithm component in terms of what happens. And then you've also got that kind of that election interference or misinformation, disinformation component. Break those down for us.
Thank you. So think about this. The use of algorithms combined with artificial intelligence has given social media companies the ability to attract people's attention, to sell them product. And some of that is quite harmless. As a matter of fact, my kids will tell you they really like that they can have product that they may be interested offered up to them. But it can cross a line really hard and really fast. And that is and we see that with TikTok, particularly with influencing youth. And that's why the state of Utah has been so aggressive with social media companies, is these algorithms can be used. And think about this. They know everything about you, what you buy, everything about where you go, when you were there, how long you were there. They know who you communicate with. They know what you like. And they take all that data and they use artificial intelligence and have the ability to influence behavior. We all know that's very well documented. So that's one thing, to influence behavior on consumer purchases. It's quite another to influence behavior, let's say, on things that impact depression and even suicide and body image. And what about elections? Now, combine all that with the ownership being the Chinese government, and you can see that you have a tool in the hands of somebody who you don't trust with that data to manipulate U.S. Citizens and U.S. voters.
That requiring a specific action, that's one that should send down shivers down everybody's spine. as you look at how that could start to be manipulated and played out.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting? It won't surprise you. We had hundreds, we had thousands of young people call our office because the app was requiring them to do so. High percentage of those hung up as soon as we answered, and the others who would actually take the time for my staff to explain to them what the bill actually did had no problem with the bill, right? We were not trying to ban TikTok. We weren't trying to take away their usage. We were simply saying the ownership is a problem. And these were very uninformed people who were simply responding to the information that they got on the app. And, you know, thank goodness we were able to explain it to a lot of them. But you can see how that on a large scale repeatedly, when we talk about, you know, we talked before about Russia interfering in our elections or China interfering in our elections. Now we can all see exactly how this works. And we can agree that, like, we just have to be far more careful with this and make good decisions.
Yeah, and I think that's so vital for all of us to think that all the way through. So, again, starting back where you began, Congressman, in terms of how that's going to impact our young people, depression, body image, all of those bullying, all of those things that take place. Then you get to
exactly.
Elections. Then you have data going to a foreign government. The fact that they can then manipulate or demand certain action as a result of it. And I'm glad you've got good interns, good staff trained up there to have those conversations. Because that I think that's another one that we just miss. Everyone says, well, everyone has my data, this and that. But the fact that a Chinese company that has a connection to the Chinese government is forced to share their data, that's part of being able to operate for them. So describe for us kind of the next steps of this. Now that it came out with a 50-0 out of committee, where does it go from here? What's the next step in this process?
Steve Scalise, who controls the floor, has said he'll bring it to a vote as early as next week. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that will happen. I suspect it probably won't get a complete unanimous vote, but I suspect it will get a very strong bipartisan vote in the House, which would then move it over to the Senate. And we would hope our Senate colleagues would agree with us, you know, as to the urgency. I think it's fair to say Congress in general, like the Utah legislature, has been looking and trying to figure out what the appropriate guardrails are for social media. We don't want to go too far. We don't want to take away, the free speech. But this seems to be an area that we have picked that there might be some consensus of, okay, this is not too far. We're not banning the app, right? We're being, I think, pretty careful in our approach here. And I'm hopeful that it's one area of bipartisan and bicameral agreement that we can say, look, okay, we just took one notch. We have a lot of notches to go here, but we just took one where there was broad agreement.
Yeah, I think that's such a great model of being very specific, very laser focused, you know, using a scalpel, not a blunt force instrument,
right.
To get at good policy, as opposed to trying to do everything with a big whack that rarely ends up good in the end. Before I let you go, Congressman, give us two things. Give us one thing from the State of the Union address. Give us one thing that came out of that speech that you agreed with the president on. And then give us one thing that was left out that you think is missing in the dialogue in what is supposed to be a state of the union, not a state of the government or a state of the politics.
I thought where he started with Ukraine, and I have been waiting for the president to be more articulate, and I was so glad that he was more articulate than he's been, and we need to continue to be more articulate with American people about what we're trying to accomplish there in Ukraine and why we support them. And of course, Israel, both of those, I think we just cannot do enough to explain to the American people what the situation is and what Americans' interest is. On the other side, I wish somehow there would have been a calculator to add up the cost of everything he talked about last night. Like, first of all, we're $34 trillion in debt. And as fast as he could talk, he was throwing out things he wanted to spend money on, as if this was a candy store. You know, he was giving out candy, and it's very, very expensive candy. Let's put it that way. And the debt, and there were just great concerns about, first of all, where we are with the debt, and then even conceivably going down this road where we were just going to take this long list of give me's and give them to the American people because people figured out they like free things was very disturbing to me.
Yeah.
you know, we got to be a little bit more thoughtful about $34 trillion.
Well, great insight as always. Your work there on the committee is so crucial. And I think this particular conversation,
thank you,
as it relates to TikTok, is one that we all need to lean in and pay attention to. We don't need to be forced by TikTok to call our member of Congress. We can just do that on our own. That's my conversation with John Curtis. We'll step aside for a quick bottom of the hour news. When we come back, Niall Standage is going to join us from News Nation and The Hill to talk about some of the takeaways from President Biden's speech to the nation. We'll break that down coming up next. Stick around.